listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 245 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
This week we are talking about whether or not knowing that one of your favourite shows is about to have its final season is a good thing or a bad thing. We have a couple of very current examples to go through with this. To sort of use as examples and to talk about our sort of like, oh god, but the thing I like is ending. So, anybody want to pick one first?
Well, shall we go with your favourite?
Oh, we got to start off with that first, right?
Yeah, that's a safe thing. Do the heartbreak first.
Okay, so, Supernatural is ending at the conclusion of season 15.
The pension pot has finally been filled.
And the college funds for all the kids.
Yeah.
And
by this route, probably the college funds for the kids of the kids.
Yeah. Quite possibly.
It's probably the pension's been funded for all of the extras that only appear like once a season as well.
Maybe not quite, but certainly it's been enough for two of them to set up their own businesses. One to do a lot of film. Dad can't philanthropy. But the work when it has an IC on the end. And I capital.
Philanthropic.
Yeah, work. It doesn't sound right, does it?
What? Philanthropic?
Yeah. This sounds unpleasant.
So they're going to do a lot of good work for charity.
Yes. But yeah, so Supernatural comes out. And I think there's still, we're in hiatus still for that show. So season 14's ended, season 15 hasn't quite started filming yet. I'm trying to think, when will it start filming? I think it'll probably start filming maybe sometime in July or partway through August. The show is not back until first or second week of October. But I think a lot of people are, even though they know it's the final season, still aren't kind of like, well, none of them are going to be happy, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Some of them are still quite distraught. I'm grateful it's the final season. It's a lot to dedicate, 15 seasons of show, even though I haven't been there from the beginning. But for the last four years.
More than that.
Four and a half years now, because I watched the, so it is 5 years. 5 years. Jeez. So 5 years? Let me think about this. No, four. 4 years. 2015. Start watching it, so four and a half.
I'm still not 100% sure of that because didn't we get it when there was only eight seasons out?
Yeah. But I've only been into it for 4.5 years.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Season 8 seems so long ago.
Actually, it wasn't even season 8. That was the current season when we got that box set. It was actually season 9, but season 9 hadn't shown in the UK yet.
Right.
Okay. Season 14 hasn't shown in the UK yet either. Because E4 have probably decided to bail on it, not tell anyone.
To be honest, in the UK, Supernatural has got a bad deal when it comes to actually showing it.
Yeah.
Considering, it used to be on, ITV2 at one point when it first started.
Yeah.
And then, Jesus Christ.
And then it basically disappeared after a while and didn't turn up until, Channel E4?
It might have been on a Sky channel for a bit briefly, but then E4 were the only ones to get any real crowd going for it. But, how do I feel about it going into the final season? Knowing. Considering how open a lot of the plot lines have been in Supernatural over the years, it's good to know that it's going to finally get some kind of wrapping up. But I'm unsure if I want a closed ending or an open ending. Because that's the thing, when a show ends, do you want a closed ending where you cannot interpret anything else ever happening, or do you want an open ending?
To be fair, wasn't like the end of season, what was it, 5, meant to be a closed ending? Was that one?
Yeah.
And then they kind of added like an extra bit when they found out that, oh, they're not ending after all.
Yeah. Or in the case of Angel, which is, has an even more open ending in the final season, where it's like, oh gosh, we don't know if everyone's going to die or some of them are going to live. Who knows? But
I mean, in a way, it's good that they get a season to wrap up, but in another way, it's always a case of...
Something's going to get missed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, one season for... basically the entirety of it to be wrapped up. Well, I suppose Supernatural being a 24 or 22 episode
It's only going to be 20 episodes again for so season 14 had 20 episodes and season 15 is going to have 20.
So, I mean, it's kind of lengthier than, say, for example, was it Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Which was another one that was actually advertised as the final season. I'm not entirely sure how to feel about things being advertised in that respect.
I mean, iZombie's currently obviously got a whole run because it's certainly started showing in the UK, I don't know. I suppose it's on in the US at the moment as well. I don't think we're seriously behind them. But Netflix
I think it's basically the same kind of deal where we get it, you know, within 24 hours of it being on US TV.
So iZombie's ending after this current season, they knew going into making it that it was going to be the final season, and they're advertising it as such.
Yeah. But I mean, like, with the amount of people that really, really hated the final season of Game of Thrones, that's not to say that, you know, final season can necessarily be, you know, kind of not enjoyable, but
It depends on the people who know what exactly is supposed to happen in the storyline.
Yeah.
I you know, with the number of people who were pissed off about, you know, Daenerys, I just have to think back to the people who were really pissed off about Glenn dying in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, oh, they're just doing this for rating to get... It was in the fucking comic years before. Mm. They're following the storyline. This is how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
In fact, you had extra time with, you know, this character and that character in comparison.
Meanwhile, with Game of Thrones, considering that Martin takes a million freaking years to write a book, feck knows how it's going to really end. I'm kind of hoping we don't end up with like a Wheel of Time situation where, was it Robert Jordan's son had to take over continuing the series or something?
But, I mean, on the whole, it's like, I don't think there's a final season of anything which was particularly strong.
I suppose it depends how well they handle the few loose ends that they have.
Yeah.
And whether or not, before the announcement of that season, they had gotten to a point with the show where you could wrap stuff up in a season.
I suppose it does also show the difference between when a season is basically cancelled unexpectedly versus when the creators do actually have a chance to, you know, kind of do stuff properly.
Yeah.
As well. I mean, I'm just thinking to stuff like True Calling that was... you know, actually just starting to get good and then dropped.
Yeah, god damn it.
Just like,
yeah, thanks for that.
Think about Supernatural, though. Obviously saying, oh, it was initially intended to end at season 5. Don't forget, during season 3, when it had a short season because it was the writer's strike, they didn't even know coming into the writer's strike whether or not the show would continue.
True.
And, you know, that's why the season's quite weirdly... paste.
Yeah. You've got an advantage with something like Supernatural because it's kind of midway between, you know, long form story arc and completely, you know, self-contained episodic.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, you can kind of juggle those around a bit. And, well, you know, I've said before that the earlier seasons of Supernatural were bad at that.
I mean, I suppose the other thing about, like, stuff today is because so much content that is produced is based on other stuff. It's kind of weird to think of, like, stories completely dying.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, because, yeah, you know, you kind of always imagine that they'll either be reinterpreted or spin-off or remake or, you know.
Well, it's not just that, like that, but something with the comic book stuff. Mm. Like, the comic books just, certainly for Marvel and DC, just seem to go forever. And ever.
Well,
and just
I mean, as long as they
reboot, you know, side universe, blah blah blah.
But it's, I mean, I think one of the things that the Marvel cinematic universe is kind of probably dealing with at the moment is the fact that comics, because you're not dealing with real actors and whatnot, They can do that. They can go on pretty much forever, even if they do reboot it, you know, now and again. But Marvel Cinematic Universe, because it's like movies that are kind of done over 10 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the actors will kind of start to get old and, you know, not in a disrespectful kind of way, just in a kind of how far do you think you're going to be able to push this kind of way,
yeah,
without either replacing the actor or having some form of, you know, kind of reboot or, you know, passing on the torch, as it were.
Also, 11 years since Iron Man.
Yeah.
Which is scary. But taking us back to TV, because obviously you're watching iZombie a bit more closely than I am.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to have a sensible wrap for this end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, with iZombie, I think there's probably a couple of things that I feel like they probably shouldn't have done in the first place. Like, had it so that, you know, it was kind of expanded it so that the entire area of all that city was kind of zombie, yeah, infested and whatnot. I think that was kind of a point of no return, as it were. And yeah, I'm not entirely sure how they're going to really finish it. Unless it's something along the lines of, oh, cure is eventually found and gives it to everybody and everybody lives happily ever after. Which kind of...
Yeah. I would like to know how much of iZombie was laid out.
Well, I mean, considering it is based on a comic series.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, but how closely?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, to be honest, I haven't read any of the comic. And it could be utterly and completely different. It could be just, we want to use these things and we're worried that, you know, the parent company of, you know, the comic company might sue us if we're, you know, too direct. A bit like the film version of From Hell, which bears bugger all resemblance to the, you know, the comic work that it's based on. The comic work was very strict.
Other than the name.
Yeah, and it being about Jack the Ripper.
But, I mean, that was kind of made in an era where, you know, they used to do that. They used to kind of take something that was popular in, like, comics or, like, a novel and whatnot, and the director would be like, well, we're going to take the name and maybe, like, one or two of the characters and, you know, personality type things, but we're going to kind of completely redo it. Which used to really piss people off. I mean, there'd be, you know, the kind of fans out there that's like, yay, my favourite thing is getting a little bit more attention and I can talk to people about it. But by the same token, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
it's a little bit like if, you know, with the weird timing of Orville and Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
You know, coming out pretty much at the same time. But, you know, it would have been, what would have happened if, you know, Discovery hadn't happened and the Orville had just carried on with, you know, with its original kind of, you know, toilet humor.
Yeah, blur. It does feel like the Orville has kind of grown up a little bit.
It has. And it's a little bit weird. It makes the the fart and knob jokes a little bit too obvious now. You've got these characters that have grown. They're a bit more three dimensional. You've got these long form storylines that they've tried doing, which are like bloody hell.
Yeah, I mean, but they're kind of introducing quite some interesting concepts, but it's in the end, it's still like Star Trek Next Generation, but with a bit more humour.
Can I move?
Yeah.
To another show that we know is going to have a final season.
Okay.
Lucifer. Now, of course, this is an interesting one because it was picked up by Netflix after Fox were a complete arse last year. And they resurrected it for a fourth season.
Yay!
And now they've said that it's going to get a fifth season, but it's going to be its final season.
Mm.
Now, considering where the end of season four, and obviously it's quite recent, so I don't want to spoiler it too much, but considering where the end of season four left us, I feel like surely the only kind of season they're going to be doing at this point is everybody gets a happily ever after kind of season.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going to spend an entire season trying to get the characters to have a happily ever after.
But not a Lucifer style happy ending. So that would be a different one.
A very different one.
Yeah.
An incredibly different one. Nerds After Dark kind of one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that, the outcry that I saw, because it was only announced last week that season five was going to be the last one for Lucifer, I saw quite the outcry, because obviously people were like, but we campaigned so hard to save it. And it's just like, well, considering what's happened to Lucy at the end of four, it's kind of like, where do you go from there?
But I mean, there's always places that you can go.
But I think...
Because I mean, it also depends on the actors as well, whether they're actually interested in kind of keeping going. Because like Supernatural season 15 is going to be the last because the actors have turned around and said,
Time.
Yeah, it's time. Whereas, like, other shows, obviously, that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, that was fun while it lasted, and then I kind of wish that it would have been longer, but, yeah.
I mean, I suppose, for some actors, when stuff gets cancelled, certainly prematurely, they don't like it, because obviously, it's a constant gig. It's a constant source of income. Yeah. Unlike film appearances or guest appearances.
Yeah.
When you've got your own show where you're a main protagonist, it means a lot in terms of earnings.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that everyone who's a recurring character on a TV show earns lots of money, but it's the same as having a regular full-time job. You've got that consistent income. You can plan your life a little. Sort out, certainly in the States, obviously sort out making sure that your family's got healthcare, etc., etc., etc.
It's a fairly regular thing that, during the, kind of TV production season, that you'd kind of do, the production stuff and, do the TV series that you're doing. And then in the time in between those, you'd go do, a film or two.
Unless you've got family, in which case you don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other show that we heard
Or if you've got really annoying family, in which case you do.
Yeah, in which case you do go make that film. Mm. Yeah. The other show that has been announced is going to have a final season is The Good Place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't really pay much attention to the previous season. So is it going to be able to be resolved in the season?
I feel like The Good Place has always kind of been running and gunning, in a sense of it doesn't have a definitive direction that it's going. It's not a case of there's this destination and they are going to reach it.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a case of basically the destination. There is kind of no destination. The beginning was pretty much like the end, and everything else after it has been just an interesting road to go down. If you know what I mean.
Is that a fair assessment? Retroid?
Yeah. I mean, I'm happier knowing that there is a destination and they're saying, this is going to be the end. Because I thought, say that, the first two seasons were, particularly sharp you know, especially the first. This third season seemed a little bit meandery to me.
I mean,
and yeah. I just got the sense, you know, it's, you know, can we please not just have them, you know, doing this or that just to draw, you know, drag it out more.
Well, I mean, that one of the things that I've always enjoyed about The Good Place is not necessarily the story itself, but the philosophical concepts that come
yeah.
as a result of the story.
Exactly.
Which is something that I feel like can kind of keep on going. But obviously, maybe, you know, the story just can't.
Well, yeah. they have to have, you know, well, the, you know, no spoiler for the, you know, the first season, but... Mm. You know, with the whole concept of, you know, being in the bad place, but being given the, you know, the runaround that it's the good place.
Yeah.
Mm.
And, you know, that kind of thing, you know, that had a very definite, you know, concept to it. It had, you know, very definite direction, and you could see it being resolved.
Yeah. And
so I'm happier that, you know, when they've got that rather than just, you know, can we come up with something else?
I suppose this upcoming season is probably going to be proving the hypothesis that anybody can become good given the right environment and circumstances.
Yeah.
So I suppose in a way it's, yeah, I can kind of see how they're going to end it.
And speaking of ending a season, or, you know, a series rather, shall we bring up Babylon 5?
Yes,
what happened with that?
Bring up Babylon 5, especially people who've watched it more than once through, so I don't remember much of Babylon 5.
Yeah, well, the yeah, the whole idea was that it was going to have a 5-season arc. So you would, you know, you would start off with, you know, Babylon 5 and, you know, wars brewing and, you know, these plots, and then everything would go to hell, and then they would be able to claw it back and, you know, be in a better place by, you know, the end of the, you know, the whole run. But it was constantly fighting, you know, to be renewed. It was made on the cheap. I think it was something like half the budget of Next Generation.
I mean, on what network did it actually air on in the US?
It was one of the Warner CBS ones, wasn't it?
Ah, yeah, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't recall, but yeah. What pretty much happened was that it managed to survive to the end of season 3, and then Straczynski was told that, you know, you would get a season 4, but it would have to be the last.
Hmm.
That would be it. So what he ended up doing was cutting a lot of stuff out of, you know, his 5-year storyline, so he could and compressing the timeline so he could fit it all and try and get a, you know, tie a neat and tidy bow on it by the end of season 4, which is why, you know, the whole the Shadows and Zahar Doom is, you know, is coming up, and it's sort of, you know, slow bubbling away, and then season 4 seems to just go a hell of a lot faster.
It's like a machine gun repeatedly firing.
Which, you know, in a lot of ways is good, but, you know, there were a few things that, you know, a few storylines which were a little bit, oh, this is a massive thing, and then by the end of, you know, 3 episodes, it was, oh, that's it, it's done now.
That does... There's something else that did that recently that kind of had this big Game of Thrones course.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of big foreboding background kind of, you know, eerie
building.
Enemy, whatnot, that they managed to defeat, and then going on to the smaller one that they were fighting, which basically was, you know, rebelling against Earth in essence.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was kind of cut in, like, each one was kind of cut in half season. So yeah, that's kind of weird. Comparison between Babylon 5 and Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And of course, as the story goes, Babylon 5 then got picked up for a 5th season, because it went the whole run and a further new season was bought by TNT, or, you know, Turner Network.
Mm.
So It's like, okay, thanks, but okay, right. And then, of course, you have the fifth season, which has a lot of stuff that was cut from, you know, the timeline that was going to be, you know, running concurrently with, you know, season four.
Yeah.
And as a result, I have difficulty remembering what happens in season five of Babylon 5.
Season five is the telepath war.
Yes, that's just about the only thing I can remember. Yeah. And so,
Byron meets up with
don't look at me.
Patricia Tallman's character.
Yeah.
And they become a thing, start doing blackmailing League of Non-Aligned Worlds, or maybe it's changed to nothing. At that point. Sheridan's president of the union thingamajiggy, and they get Lockley as the commander for Babylon 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just feels very weirdly paced and just a bit, you know, it would have been, in some ways, it would have been better if it hadn't had the fifth season. And that's not because it wasn't planned for. It's because it was planned for. And then, of course, the plans were all torn up.
Yeah.
And then he had to go and pick up all the torn up bits and reassemble the season.
Mm.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, Babylon 5, you know, for however much I love it, it's a bit of a mess in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would be kind of like in an alternate world where basically J. Michael Straczynski actually managed to do his entire plan, how that would have, you know, kind of went, would be kind of an interesting one to see. The original Babylon 5, as it were.
I mean, he was kind of trying to do the long-form storytelling, which is incredibly popular now with, you know, the, you know, sort of Netflix box set.
I definitely think that Babylon 5 was ahead of its time.
Yeah, so it was just annoying what happened with that, but
you know, I could imagine if they were to either remake Babylon 5 or remaster it, can you imagine what they would do like with the CG graphics now?
Update it and whatnot. I follow Straczynski on Twitter, and he's said a few times about how it's not going to get remastered for various reasons. And it's just, yeah, it's a shame.
Hmm.
But yeah, I wouldn't say no to a remake.
I've just remembered something that we've been talking about, Babylon 5 with the whole ending thing. So after they obviously, Supernatural, they thought it was going to end with season 5.
Yeah.
A lot of people got pissed off with season 6 and stuff and how it went about things. I actually kind of liked it, but yeah. You know. I like Team Free Will.
It's one of those things that, well, I mean, especially in a show like Supernatural, where anybody can be resurrected, it kind of loses the meaning of death.
Mm.
So unless you're not a main character, in which case you're gone.
Well, to be fair, in order for resurrection to happen, somebody has to care enough for the resurrection to happen. It doesn't just
happen. Just not like, bing! Oh, it's alright, I have an extra life.
Exactly. Like, some other individual or force needs to have an interest in you coming back to life.
But then you also have to have, you know, say for example, like, the fact that Castiel went into hell to rescue Dean that was being, you know, blah blah blah, and the fact that, you know, Sam was resurrected with, you know, in, what was it, demon form? Or
no, he had no soul.
He had no soul.
Kaz got him out.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you have to have story reasons why they couldn't do that with Bobby or with
Charlie.
It's because they're bastards, that's why. That's why they didn't do it with Bobby and Charlie.
Part of it is also that if, well, other with Bobby hung around with as a ghost and had to be dealt with, before he became a vengeful spirit, there's the whole thing that actually, if as long as you haven't basically been an evil bastard, you go to heaven. And there is the notion, certainly in the later seasons, that if someone's made it to heaven, like, you don't have to pull them out of there because it's actually a nice place to be most of the time. Because it's supernatural and nothing can be clear cut.
They did it with Buffy. Come on. She was in heaven.
Yeah, but it wasn't implied that those running heaven may also be not quite as desirable as you may like them to be in terms of, you know, guardians of the space. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to move this on, I think, unless anyone's got any final words for this idea of final seasons and knowing that it's the final season.
I think at least none of them have really jumped the shark that much. I mean, I think jumping the shark is something that was definitely in the 90s and kind of, you know, early 2000s when...
Lost.
I was just thinking that.
Where series just seem to basically take a left turn and that goes off a cliff.
And then they die.
Like, you know, say, for example, Sliders.
But as we've discussed previously, there's all kinds of reasons for Sliders going cockeyed.
And I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of people that would consider Heroes after the first season to do that. I quite enjoyed, like, you know, all of the original run of Heroes and Heroes Reborn as well, but yeah, I'm just weird, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, you are.
I'm going to move us on to what people have been up to. Can I go first?
No.
Oh.
Okay, go on then.
I've been playing lots of Far Cry 5, guys. In fact, I was playing Far Cry 5 just before we finally started recording.
Far Cry 5, guys.
There was a comma there.
Okay.
There was a comma.
Yeah, tell us, are there good doggos?
There's such a good doggo. Oh yes. My gosh. So you can have... I didn't get far enough into 4 to find out if you had this ability, but you can get kind of like allies that can go around with you, or recruits, as they call them. And you've got certain recruits that are kind of like... They're like very specialist, and you have to go through like a game event to get them, like a bit of story. And it includes people like this guy who went to airfield and he's quite a good aerial combat guy. Or you've got Boomer, who is the unfortunately orphaned doggo of Ray Ray's pumpkin patch, and the original owners of the patch, Ray Ray.
Is that the first time that you cried at a video game?
No, there's other times. But I felt super sorry for Boomer. And to learn then that he would, once I'd gone and checked in his owners and found that they'd been murdered, it was reassuring to know that I could take him into my good cult-toppling hands and recruit him on my journey to avenge the death of his original owners and to also have him steadily by my side, finding out what fucking enemies are in the area and whether or not there's anything good to hunt. He's very reliable on this front. He's great, like, because normally you have to use your binoculars to, like, start tagging enemies in an area. Whereas if you've got Boomer, he just sniffs them all out, and it's just like, aha!
And then communicates the positions with you telepathically. Yeah.
Well, pretty much. You've got a close bond. But no, I feel that it's having a... I mean, I do also often play with, like, human creeps. You can have two, as long as you've got the right perk. Which is a thing you can upgrade to through various perk points that you can acquire through the game world and by doing things. But I like having him on my party. He's like really handy. He's also got top kill ratio out of all of my recruits. He's surpassed 65 at this point. If anyone goes after him though, whilst I'm in the game,
you're going to kill them.
Oh, yeah. Like if you knock my dog down that I have to revive him, oh, you are not getting out of that alive. You are a dead, dead cultist. Or piece of wildlife. Depends. Sometimes I pick fights with grizzlies. It doesn't always go well.
I saw you shoot one in the bum and it died.
Yep.
It must have been a really big surprise.
So I've really been enjoying Far Cry 5. Also, super lot better with, like, a dog. Did Was there another game out recently, like last year or so, that had you playing with like a dog at your side and it didn't get reviewed very well? But
I think it was a survival horror one, but I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe something like Days Gone?
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Was it Days Gone? Like, I might play that just purely for the fact that you get to have a dog with you. You know, didn't review well. I just like the idea of having a dog in game who's like super cool. I'll admit.
A pocket pupper.
Yeah. I will admit that if both Boomer and a human recruit end up incapacitated at the same time and calling for
I know
help, I go to Boomer first to revive him so that he can continue fighting. And then, if they're still alive, I will go to the human recruit. That is my confession.
To be fair, I mean, in a functionality type of way, Boomer is probably more valuable.
He does provide greater intel immediately. And also,
and
doesn't...
still attacks.
He still talks, and he also doesn't talk about stupid shit whilst I walk around. He kind of like barks happily, and then barks angrily when there's bad shit nearby. Super helpful. Whereas the recruits kind of just talk about bullshit, and then they're way too obvious about screaming when there's like cultists nearby. It's like, don't give away our position. Shut up. Oh my god. Be quiet, please. And Boomer just gives like a confident bark or two, or an angry confident bark or two, and it's like, okay, cool, Boomer, we've got trouble. All right, I get you.
Yeah,
I get you.
Very good doggo.
Very good doggo. What else I've been up to? I think the only other thing of significance at this point would be that, other than what Paul and I've been up to together watching wise, I've decided to try Khan Academy.
Khan!
Online.
Sorry.
I want to point out that the guy that does a load of the mass videos that I've done so far, Sal Khan, does not sound anything like Khan. Or Khan.
Sorry.
Star Trek.
They don't sound like Khan.
That would just be brilliant. It's like, I task you.
I hope you appreciate how much I'm having to keep down the Wrath of Khan quotes.
Cool, thank you. But yeah, I am actually going through basic maths at the moment.
Buried alive.
Oh my god. It's quite good. I mean, I've heard of the site before. I mean, I try out educational sites every so often. But this is the first time where I've gone back to back to basics kind of thing. So I've been doing basics, basic arithmetic. I'm up to multiplications at the moment, which actually was always something that I found really easy. So, like, addition, I can struggle with. Subtraction, I can struggle with. Oh, suddenly a multiplication. Well, that's fine. And that's even without considering multiplication tables. It's weird. But I've got division coming up, and I'm feeling less confident about that, guys. So, but I actually did get up to a point when I was, like, studying 16 to 18, so high school level / international baccalaureate / A level, that I was doing stuff like differential calculus and stuff. I say doing, I was failing at it because where I was learning completely trashed my ability to understand mathematics. So I'm trying to undo some of that damage. And if I undo enough of it, I can try and relearn calculus from the site. So I'm looking forward to that.
Whoa. I must admit, I had an awful maths teacher in school for about the last 2 or 3 years in secondary, and I went from, you know, doing really well in mathematics to quite badly.
I think if you ever wanted to relearn, like, I've gone through quite a lot of the basic stuff already, and I'm finding it quite well laid out and quite good at explaining things. Like, they look at stuff from several different angles before kind of like moving on.
Yeah.
And they're very good at explaining stuff step by step. So,
if it wasn't for coding, then my mathematics wouldn't be as good as it is. So, you know, stuff like algebra and, you know, trying to work out pi and, you know, things like that. I had to work out pretty much by myself because the teacher was shite.
I just want to say that, I mean, because there's a lot of people out there that will turn around and say, oh, algebra, there's no point in learning that because when are you going to use it in the real world? And the amount of people that kind of get on their Facebook, that whole banana plus apple plus pear equals such and such, two bananas plus pear equals such and such and whatnot, you're basically doing fucking algebra.
Mm.
Yeah, that's
you're
what it is.
You're just replacing letters variables with fruit.
But also, if you ever end up as a small business owner or if you're trying to check some financial stuff, like algebra gets involved.
Mm.
You know, like it's not without its purposes, and
it's basically any skill in life you could probably do without, you know, reasonably.
Yeah.
But those skills actually unlock stuff in life that you can actually
I do hope to move up to, once I've got my math skills kind of shored up once more, I'm hoping I might be able to really get on with some coding, not like become a coding expert, but I would like to learn some programming and stuff and not be so confused by it, you know, which I think is a reasonable thing, you know, trying to understand how algorithms and calculus and stuff work. So
fair.
Anyway, yeah. Retro, what you been up to?
So, well, been watching a few things on the telebox. So, some of which via, you know, Dave Internet.
But
We watched Killing Eve Season 2, which is very good. I strongly encourage everyone to watch that. Have you lot seen Killing Eve?
We have not.
You should. I think it's on iPlayer. It is good. And it is so bloody refreshing to see the main characters who are female and, you know, the side characters around them, they're mostly the male ones, and they're the ones that get, you know, put in the, you know, the real danger. It is such a nice turnaround, and it's so well written. It's one of the, you know, the best series I've seen on, you know, TV for a while. So yeah, definitely see Killing Eve and Killing Eve Season 2. So go on. There you go. I'll wait.
Somehow right. This episode took us several weeks to record.
Yeah. It's good, though. Trust me. Let's see. Other things. Watched Good Omens.
Have we watched three or four episodes at this point?
I think four. But it's basically Emily wants to save them.
Yeah.
So we're trying not to basically binge watch.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was very happy to see that, you know, all of them were up at once, though.
Yeah.
I was going to be annoyed if it was a weekly thing, because it's yes, I can savor them, and we did watch the last two, you know, back to back. But it's nice being able to see it, you know, one an evening, that kind of thing.
But also, for those who don't have Amazon Prime and are wondering, oh God, how am I going to watch this legally? And you also happen to be in the UK, in theory, the BBC is going to be showing the series at a later date. Because they're co-producers of the show.
Yeah, BBC Studios is listed in the credits, I noticed. So, yeah.
But I've read an article on Radio Times confirming it for definite, so... But it's just a question of when.
Yeah. Which is fine. I don't mind that kind of arrangement, because if it was just down to the BBC, I don't know if they would have had the budget to, you know, chuck at it for, you know, six episodes.
Maybe they're waiting for everybody to be more up in arms about, you know, having to pay for a TV license, and they can go, but Good Omens.
Well, I mean, they also helped co-produce with HBO, I think, and it's coming up, is a new adaptation of Dark Materials trilogy, for Pullman's series. So, but yeah, I don't know quite how the arrangement would work for that in the UK, because then you've got the interesting situation of, okay, where you've got, because it's Sky with Atlantic for HBO stuff versus the BBC. So it's kind of like, I don't know who that would go to. So it's either going up on Sky Atlantic first, or it's going up on BBC first in the UK.
Might have like a limited run of on like Sky Atlantic, like and then like after a while it'll turn up on BBC.
Or the other way around, who knows? But it's
probably, I doubt it would be the other way around because Sky.
But anyway, of what we have seen of Good Omens, we find it to be incredibly good.
It is very nice to see an adaptation like that, which so captures the original spirit.
It kind of feels a little Dirk Gently.
Well, that's because that's the Terry Pratchett incident influence, because Terry Pratchett and Douglas Adams, when you look at their writing side by side, there is a similar
Have
humor.
You seen them in the same room at the same time?
That's a question for people who knew them whilst they were both alive.
I was going to say, not now.
Yeah.
Sadly, for both of them. Yeah. Very sadly.
But at least Neil Gaiman was around to help keep an eye on Good Omens whilst it was made.
Yes, and I was very pleased to see his influence there. And, you could kind of sense it. You know, along with the Terry Pratchett kind of logic.
Mm.
So, I did really enjoy that. Let's see, other things I've done. I managed to... had I mentioned the Philips Discoverer TV last podcast?
Which, because the last TV I really remember you talking about is the big bubbly one.
That's the one.
That's the one. Yeah, the one all the way from Glasgow.
Yes. Happy to go to Glasgow specifically to pick up an old television. This is me.
How far is Glasgow from where you are?
I'm not actually that far. I think it's about 100 miles.
All right.
So it's a reasonable train journey's worth.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it return on the same day, I can get train tickets for about 16, 17 quid.
Jeez.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, is it?
I mean, considering, we're obviously in Truro in, Cornwall, the bit sticking out at the bottom of the...
trying to get anywhere near Bristol starts to get interesting.
Yeah, you're looking at, for Bristol, probably, I'd imagine... in the region of maybe £50 or so.
I don't know if it's that steep. It gets steeper once you get past Bristol, but then it's pretty much you don't really get to stop anywhere until you get to, like, London or something.
Yeah, I know in order to get from Cornwall to London, it's about, over £100?
Quite often, depending on how unlucky you are. Yeah.
Yeah, depending on the train that you catch as well.
Mm. Anyway.
We're extremely lucky in that Carlisle is on the main... transportation backbone into Scotland. So you can escape. Yeah. If when this all goes south, which... Oh, Jesus. But yeah. I can either walk or we could just very quickly and easily get a train into Glasgow or Edinburgh. So we've got big cities on our doorstep, metaphorically speaking. Because Carlisle sure as hell isn't. But anyway, I managed to partially blow up the television.
Partially blow it up?
Well, partially killed it. But in that, I managed to short something and that blew a fuse. And then if I tried switching it on after that point, it would just instantly blow the fuse. I'm talking about the internal fuse, not the plug fuse.
Okay.
So I got a pack of 10 fuses and went through two before thinking, well, there's no point. And then I was poring over the diagrams and identifying... This is one of the great things about the internet. There are all these things like, big service manuals, technical, how to repair them if it was a popular enough model, then all these repair shops will have had to have copies of these so they can fix them. But I managed to find one because it's a well-known enough model. And I was going through the diagrams and I understood enough to work out where the problem probably was, because there's as part of a circuit called a bridge rectifier. And what that does is it uses diodes, which are just components which will only allow power to move in one direction.
Okay.
You put AC, mains AC, which is, in a cost alternating current, through what they call this bridge rectifier, which is, you know, four diodes which are only in pointing in one direction. And the idea is that when it's positive on one side of the wave, it will let the power through in one, you know, one side of this bridge rectifier. And when the power alternates into the other direction, it will let the power through in the, you know, the other half of the bridge rectifier. So at the end of it, where these two points meet, you will get a relatively constant direct current. It's not alternating anymore. And then, of course, you can modulate it down so it, you know, it's a lower voltage. You can get, you know, more current out of it. You know, then you can work with it, because, of course, there's basically nothing electronic which is AC. It all has to be converted into DC. And I worked out, because of where in this circuit it was, that it must have been a problem with the bridge rectifier. So I got on my multimeter, and I was prodding the diodes, because, you know, like I said, there's only four, and at least one of them, because testing things in circuit when they're in, you know, when they're sitting there, isn't necessarily the best way to do it, but it will give you a fair indication. So, you know, prodded them, and at least one of them was giving the same reading, whichever end, you know, I tested it, which, of course, with it being a diode, it's not supposed to, especially one that's operating in mains, so it could let, you know, the wrong current through.
Mm.
So, just this morning, I got the, you know, pack of 100 diodes in the post, £2 delivered, which, you know, these are not expensive components. Mm. Managed to remove the old diodes, because I thought, if I'm going to be replacing one, I might as well just replace all four of them, and then that's it.
Fair.
So made sure I got them in the right way, which, again, very important. And, you know, plugged in one of the, you know, one of the fuses I had, and blah, 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 and works. So I've managed to fix this TV, and if it was a few years ago, I wouldn't have had the vaguest idea.
Why?
It would have been, well, the television is broken and I've tried replacing the fuse. It must be something. I don't know how any of this works. You know, rubbish tip, or put it in the loft, or, you know, put it in the cupboard, something like that. So I'm not only am I very pleased that I've got this working again, but I'm more pleased that I worked out what it was and fixed it. Because we've all had something, you know, whether it's a TV or a computer or, you know, whatever, that it will just stop, it will break. And you don't know how to fix it, and just ends up getting thrown out.
Mm.
So I'm very pleased I've been able to teach myself enough to get it up and running. And of course, now I can do some of my experiments with it, which is basically to bypass, because it only has an aerial input, this TV. It's from, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. Doesn't have SCART, doesn't have any video inputs, anything like that. It just has an aerial socket for analog TV. But that's it. And my plan is to bypass that. So not only have I managed to get myself a screaming bargain, which I still occasionally have people going, how the hell did you get that for that price? But yes, I managed to damage it, but also I managed to fix it.
Woo.
And hopefully I'll be able to get things like you know, NTSC Mega Drive running on it, you know, for the full retro experience.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm happy with that. And I also picked up a much older TV. Well, I say much older, but it's from 1981, and it's got a very weird power socket on it, and I'm still trying to work out what the hell that is. And I've I've asked around, I've searched around. Google hasn't got a bloody clue. So it's from Panasonic as well, so it's not exactly what you would think would be. Yeah. But it's an 8-inch video monitor. Color.
8-inch? And, you know, wow, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, tablets are bigger than that nowadays.
Yeah. But of course, the thing is, a lot of the mini TVs I've got, the standard for those is around 5-inch. 8-inch was an unusual size because it was pretty much you would have the smaller, 5 or 6-inch ones, or you would have like a 13-14-inch, color portable. There wasn't much around in the middle areas, so. Yeah, I've got plans for this, but I've got to work out how to bloody power it in the first place. Plus, it's from 1981. I don't know if it works. A lot of these things, they have capacitors and things like that. Electrolytics, those can go dry. Those can go pop. So I may have to fix that before I can experiment. But yeah.
Paul.
I'm buying old tot again.
Paul, what have you been up to?
I actually binge watched something on Netflix. It was called Russian Doll. And it's
Thursday. What a concept.
It was an interesting one. It's kind of like Groundhog Day, but in TV series form. Well, it's kind of cross between Groundhog Day and Final Destination.
Yeah.
So, basically, main character keeps on dying and keeps on getting reset to the same point. And one of the things that isn't actually explicitly explained in it is certain things from the loop disappear.
Yeah.
Which is, kind of interesting. But also, spoilers for anybody planning on watching it, but the person is not alone. There is also another person that experiences the loops and the deaths. And I don't think it's ever fully revealed what exactly is happening, per se, other than the fact that, they're kind of reevaluating their lives and how they're feeling at that point in their life and, their past and whatnot, and they're trying to figure out a way to fix it.
Yeah, I liked them just trying to work out, if we do this, will it do that? And then having the meeting again with, it didn't.
Yeah.
It just made it worse.
Yeah, it's a very interesting kind of concept, and I do wonder whether they're gonna take it for a season two. I kind of hope so, but I'm not sure where it's gonna go if they do.
Yeah,
which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
I don't know. Yeah, but it was nicely left field.
Yeah,
and I liked what they did with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, quite enjoyed that. Emily's mouthing something.
I was going to say, you tell them about finally watching Baywatch, the film, not the TV series.
Yeah, so we have this thing sometimes on date night, which is basically we'll just like stick on a film at home. So kind of very cheap date nights. And those can be on like Netflix or Amazon Prime. And this week we decided, because we fancied kind of some form of kind of comedy or whatnot, we decided to try out the Baywatch film, as in the latest one with The Rock and Zac Efron.
2017.
Yeah. And it was, pretty much, we'd both kind of grown up knowing about Baywatch, but not ever really watching it. And it was... it was enjoyable. It's obviously not highbrow. It's not going to win awards or anything like that. But, you know, a film like that isn't really designed to. I think it achieved what it set out to do, which was basically to entertain. You know, take the piss out of itself slightly, you know. There are certain bits where the characters literally commented on other characters kind of doing stuff in slow motion. And you could literally see it, like, in slow motion as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't obviously all, you know, realistic. And
it was quite self-aware.
Yeah.
It would kind of have to be, because it was that series of girls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's obviously not the most highbrow series. It's not the most highbrow film. But I think it was enjoyable-ish.
I mean, it's The Rock, you know, yeah. Like, usually pretty safe bet in terms of, is it going to be a film you can stand? Probably.
Yeah, it's a film that you can stand, but it's not a film that you'd be like, you have to see this. You know, it's a bit like Skyscraper in that respect. You know, it was a, you know, an enjoyable, you know, kind of adventure. But it wasn't like you have to go out and buy it right now.
What was the geological earthquakey?
Oh, the one where they ended up in like a city that was flooded.
Well, it was like San Francisco.
What?
Yeah. With The Rock.
No.
For a moment, I thought I thought it was still going to be Baywatch.
No.
Anyway, was there anything else you got to?
No, I mean, other than gardening a little. Again. Mostly been watching you play Far Cry 5, to be honest.
What, and cheering for Beamer?
Yes, yeah.
Everyone's cheering for Beamer. Beamer's the best.
And then, like, listening as you kind of play and being like, oh, fucking thing.
That's never at Beamer, though. That's always at the enemy. Always.
Because Beamer's a good tucker.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very good tucker.
He's the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I think that's all we've got time for this episode. So it is good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter as @PaulBlewett.
It's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Nerds Podcast. We're on Facebook as Nerds Assemble Podcast. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Pocket Casts, and probably a couple other things. And that's it. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
You a good boy? It's not me.
Oh.